저 36주년을 맞이해서
celebrating the 36th anniversary of the church opening, I was excited from this morning, and I don't know how to start this sermon. And many people asked me to talk about many things that happened in the early days of the church. And in the early days of the church, the sanctuary was
전체가 성전이라고 하면은 반 반이 예배 드리는 공간 그리고 반은 이제
the half of the entire church was used as a sanctuary and the other half was used as the pastor's residence.
그런 규모에서
and in that small sanctuary we began, and after 36 years, as you can see, we have accomplished a great church. And not only do we have a church here, but also we have church in all over the world. But this could not be achieved by man's thought. Father God directly commanded us, and Father God has guided us. Before I begin, I'd like to say this. Now we are celebrating the 36th anniversary of the church's opening. I think some of you are of the same age with Manmin, which is 36. Some of you have been with this church for over 30 years, others over 20 years, and still others less than 10 years. Especially those of you who came to this church at the most significant moment of your lives and shared joy, sorrow, and agony with us may feel like Manmin is your best friend. Then, what does Manmin mean to you? This church may feel like your lover, or your senior, or your teacher. There might have been moments when you agonized over incomprehensible situations or felt troubled when things didn't go according to your will. Each of us may think of this church in a different way, but one thing is for certain. As said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. All of us are rooted in Jesus Christ. In the church, nothing is more important than our Lord. It's because the church of Christ is the body of God. I'd like to congratulate Manmin, my dearest friend, on its 36th birthday. Dear brothers and sisters, to a king, a faithful vessel is like good medicine or the cold of snow in the time of harvest. For example, to King David, Prophet Nathan was an invaluable person because he frankly pointed out his faults, even at the risk of his life, thereby leading him onto the righteous way. The same goes for Prophet Samuel. By delivering God's will to King Saul, he tried to present the right way for him. This is the same in families or companies and all other areas of the society. No matter where you belong, if you are assigned with a significant duty, please keep in mind that the way you conduct yourself is the very important. When a head of a family is upright, his family remains in peace. When a leader of a nation stays upright, his nation stays firm and stable. Looking back at the Korean history or the world history, we find that righteous and faithful individuals helped our nation or their nation overcome challenges or difficulties. With this in mind, please make bread of God's message carried in today's passage. Become proper people in God's sight, thereby enjoying His amazing blessings. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, "For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." The verses remind us that God who searches our heart knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, and vice versa. Therefore, if we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and receive His guidance, we pray with the help of the Spirit who intercedes for His believers according to the will of God. So, God delightfully accepts our prayer, causes things to work together for good, and leads us to live according to His will. That's why Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Dear brothers and sisters, those who love God naturally, they naturally live according to His will. To those who love God like this, namely those who are called according to His purpose, God causes all things to work together for good so that they can be prosperous in all affairs. From now on, let's talk about what specifically we should do to have our prayers and petitions joyfully accepted by God and make Him cause all things to work together for good. I'll give you 3 points. First, we have to deeply realize our own limits. When we are assigned with a specific duty at a meeting or a group, if we do things beyond what we are authorized to do, we may cause conflicts or trouble among people. We have to be aware that there are few things in the world that can be achieved on our own. This means we have to accomplish a task, cooperating and respecting one another and gathering wisdom. No matter how outstanding a person may be, if he tries to get things done all by himself, despite his hard and diligent efforts, he ends up facing his limits and cannot have as good outcome. But people who are truly wise admit their limits and accomplish their task, seeking help from others. Thus, whatever we do, to bring about perfect outcome, first, we have to exactly figure out what our duties are and how much we are capable. Let's say you've become a professional in a certain field after going through a lot of training, but no matter how much you've learned and trained, when faced with various problems in reality, you'll soon find your limits in your knowledge and capabilities. Even if you've accumulated knowledge, you're only knowledgeable in specific areas, not all areas. To talk about doctors, there are doctors of many kinds. The same goes for leaders in charge of many different areas with his diverse knowledge and outstanding intelligence. Because there is a gap between theory and reality, if you lack experience, no matter how much knowledge you have, you can't apply it properly. How could there be perfect professionals capable of everything? We have to share our knowledge, learn from each other, and fill in our shortcomings, thereby getting closer and closer to perfection. Of course, as we specialize in a specific area, we may have confidence and rise to the level of professional. But if our task is combined with other fields of work, because we lack proper knowledge or experience, we may not make things go just as we desire. Thus, it requires us to build up experience and learn more. If all things went as expected, how could all of us not succeed just with our knowledge? Like this, as human beings, we have limits in our capabilities, so there are areas in which we are definitely in need of others' help. We have to broaden our insight, learn different things, and be ready to accept others' approach or advice. Only then can we minimize our mistakes and obtain wisdom to overcome our limits. When we hear some advice from another person, rather than judging that person wrong, we have to discern his words of advice in truth and improve ourselves all the more. In doing so, we can truly be wise people. Please be aware that if you refuse others' reproach or advice, you are foolish in God's sight. For example, when you present your opinion and push forward a task or a project, you do so because you think of yourself as right, don't you? But if other people speak against your project or offer their advice, you have to look back on yourself, engrave the words in your mind, and discern between right and wrong. Although something seems to be right in your sight, it may not be so in reality. Each person may have limits that they themselves don't even know. So, even if others' opinions turn out wrong, you can just forget them. If you get an awakening from them, you can just be thankful. We can see wise people are open-minded and pay attention even to the words of little ones. They don't argue, giving all kinds of excuses, but they try to look back on themselves in light of what they've heard and try to discover themselves. Looking back on the world history, dictators faced a miserable end. Why? They rejected petitions and exhortations from many people, but instead insisted on their thoughts and theory. For this reason, as for people assigned to a significant position involving many people, it's very important they realize their limits. Leaders have great impact on others, so even their small mistakes can cause big loss. The greater trust a leader has won from his members, the more duties and tasks he's assigned with. But they shouldn't think highly of themselves or become self-conceited. As said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. We always recognize our limits and achieve our task with humility. Secondly, we have to keep our goals and purposes in mind, the same way we keep God in mind. As the people of God love God first, they put God's work first. It's only natural. Let me take senior pastor for example. When God commands him to do something, he doesn't intend to do it all by himself. That's what he said. If it's something that has to be done by senior pastor, he would do it. He would take the initiative. But a task can be categorized by its characteristics. Some tasks can be carried out the best way when they are assigned to people with a specific talent. So what senior pastor first considered is who could accomplish his work most efficiently and mightily. So when he pushes forward the task, he obeys the voice of the Holy Spirit. The reason that God directly gives his command to senior pastor is that he is the leader of this church, but he wants him to collaborate with others so that things can work together for good. Thus, senior pastor doesn't intend to do all things all by himself, but he first considers who could achieve his work better. This isn't because he lacks desire for heavenly rewards. Also, it's never because he hates taking on a particular project or duty. If God desires something to be done, whatever that is, senior pastor would make sure to get it done even at the risk of his life. But if there's anyone who could do a better job than he does, he gives a chance to him and supports him. Senior pastor wants God's work to be done more greatly and wonderfully because he keeps God's work in mind the same way he keeps God in mind. So he wants to get all things done more wonderfully and perfectly without error. Then, what can we learn from this? Those who live with a good conscience and in truth don't want to achieve something on his own. Instead, they consider the characteristics of a specific task and have it done in a way that benefits all. Also, when it comes to God's work, they are more focused on accomplishing it more greatly. If we don't have such a heart, we do things out of our selfish desire. While insisting on achieving things on our own, we make mistakes and cause things to go wrong. Especially, people working for the kingdom of God have to be mindful of this. In carrying out a specific task, we shouldn't follow our selfish desire, but consider God and the ultimate goal of the task first. As we search for ways to achieve our task in a God-pleasing way, we can make all things work together for good. In this manner, a wise person doesn't insist on doing things all by himself. By all means, he seeks ways to get things done perfectly. Dear brothers and sisters, let me talk about considering God's work as we consider God. Let's talk about this from a different aspect. Sometimes, our personal achievement may go against the benefit of the entire church. If you were to choose between getting compliments and credit for your achievement and benefiting the entire church, what would be your choice? If you indeed love God, you would think you would definitely choose the latter one. But even though you think that is the right choice, in reality, you end up choosing compliments and credit. Namely, you often choose to win people's recognition rather than to sacrifice yourself. Through this, you can check what kind of vessel you are. For example, when a mission group conducts some kind of event, the leader of the group may choose between benefits of his mission group and those of the entire church. Of course, some may wonder, if something is beneficial for a particular mission group, wouldn't it benefit the entire church as well? Of course, this is right. But there are exceptional cases in which an event hosted by a mission group benefits the mission group itself while causing loss to the entire church. In such cases, the leader of the group has to choose to benefit the entire church even though his group may suffer loss. He has to choose what benefits the entire church. Then, God will be pleased and cause things to work together for good so that we can give greater glory to Him. I've talked about the cases that may happen in the church, but it's the same in our families, workplace, and business. Whether it's big or small, whatever we do, we have to seek others' benefit first, rather than our own. Then, God is pleased with us. If we improve ourselves from such trivial areas, even in dealing with our personal matters, we first consider the positions of all people rather than our own. In doing so, we can figure out what God's will and goodness is. So, no matter what we do it all in goodness. among our God-given duties, some of them concern a particular mission group or department, while others relate to the entire church. We have to be aware that our duties that concern the entire church should come first. Because anything related to God is important, it is right to take on various kinds of duties, but it is important to follow a great cause in carrying out our duties. Also, we have to share whatever is useful and beneficial with others, thereby making our community a better place. As we share together, we become joyful, and our joy is delivered to others. So, after all, it benefits all. But if someone keeps it to himself without sharing it, at first, it may seem he rises above others, but that's it. How could he be considered an honorable person or win people's respect? I urge you to keep this in mind and make bread of it. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5, we find, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful." The verse means that the righteous people have upright thoughts and act justly. To be just means to distinguish well between national affairs and family matters, or between God-given duties and secular work. They discern between them well. As we look back at our history, we find how faithful vassals conducted themselves. They acted justly even when their entire family was to be destroyed. Rather than their own family, they put their country or the king first. It should be more so in faith. Righteous people discern between God-given duties and their personal affairs and conduct themselves in an upright way. Without turning to the left or to the right, they don't get agitated by any matter. Like this, there is order in everything. Only when we are just, we can make a wise and clear judgment towards our task. We have to know when we should act or not act, keep in mind the rules, order, and everything, and discern them well in the truth. As said in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, for the mind set on spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God." All God's works have to be done in peace. Thus, we shouldn't be carried away by our feelings, but discern things well only in the truth, without following self-interests or fleshly desires, fleshly thoughts. But we should first consider how we can accomplish God's work most efficiently. Third, in order to make things work together for good, we should offer advice or feedback to others and support and yield to them. If another person can achieve something more greatly, it's very important for us to yield our work to him. In the ancient Chinese history was a righteous person who famously confessed, "Your Majesty, if you have me alone, you may not be able to achieve unification, but if you have this individual I recommend, I believe you'll be more than able to do it." If only the unification of the whole China could be achieved by the king he served, he rejoiced even though he was lord, while another person was exalted. Quan Xiong and Bao Shuo are the good example. They were raised in the same town and built a strong friendship. Both of them entered public service. Quan Xiong was assigned to serve the Zhu, while Bao Shuo was assigned to serve Xiaobai. But unexpectedly, there came a rebellion in the country, and Xiaobei and Zhu fought each other for the throne. Zhu was defeated in the battle and faced death. And Guanzhong was taken captive by a soldier under Xiaobei's command. What we have to note here is that as Xiaobei became a king, Bao Shua, one of the most loyal officials, recommended Guanzhong for a high-ranking position. Bao Shua did a crucial role in making Xiaobei a king, yet because his first priority was to make his country and the king prosper, he advised the king to use his friend's wisdom and capabilities. But Xiaobei intended to kill Guanzhong because he was an enemy in the battlefield, yet Bao Shua defended him saying, "Your Majesty, people say a benevolent and good king doesn't hold a personal enmity against anyone. Actually, while faithfully serving his former master, he couldn't help but become an enemy to you because he was such a faithful official for his master. Wouldn't he show such faithfulness to you? If you are satisfied with what you've accomplished until now, just having me would be enough. But if you harbor a great ambition to unify the whole China, just having me is not enough. I believe it'd be really difficult to realize your ambition if you didn't have a person like Guanzhong." As a result, Guanzhong became one of Xiaobei's officials and was entrusted with significant government affairs. Thanks to Guanzhong's outstanding wisdom, Xiaobei was able to unify the other regions and greatly expand his territory. If only Bao Shua could make his country prosper more, even though he himself had to be lord, he willingly exalted his friend. Seeing Guanzhong have greater wisdom and capabilities than himself, Bao Shua didn't seek his benefits at all, but exalt and support him. Thanks to Bao Shua, who had such a virtuous heart, his entire country could become strong and stable. From the book of 1st and 2nd Samuels, we find that it wouldn't be an exaggeration to say David was the greatest king in the Bible, but we couldn't talk about David without Jonathan. David was a mere shepherd boy who was born as the eighth son of his parents. But Jonathan yielded all his rights to David, being only faithful to his duties as David's supporter. This is why he is considered a great man. He willingly gave up the position of the lead character while lowering himself to the minor character. The reason that he could do so without hesitation was that he had exceeding love for David. In describing Jonathan's love for David, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 17 mentions the word love three times. We also find in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, that Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. It says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself." Usually, it was very unlikely for a person like Jonathan to develop friendship with David. Jonathan was to succeed his father, while David was a shepherd boy and a music therapist for his father. But why is their relationship considered the most exemplary model for a friendship? Their friendship was based on faith and transcended their social status. Jonathan was captivated by David. Even as a mere shepherd boy, he confronted Goliath and defeated him. Seeing his love for God, his faith, and his courage, he fell in love with him. A true friendship transcends physical conditions and is built in true faith. We, Christians and Mami members, should build a kind of relationship David and Jonathan had. We should also have such a virtuous heart by which we can willingly support and yield to the another person for a good purpose, even if we may be lured as a result. Such a heart is all the more essential in faith. If we find ourselves not able to achieve something on our own, whatever that is, we need to have an attitude of recommending another person for that task and supporting him. Therefore, when necessary, we should recommend another person without self-interest and accomplish God's work even more greatly. In working for the kingdom of God, if we can give up all our benefits and support and yield to another person with a broad heart, how beautiful would we look to Father God? It's the same in our families, businesses, and all other areas. If we do things with such a sincere and beautiful heart, we can achieve our work all the more effectively and efficiently. I hope that today's message will help you make your heart into a great heart and a great vessel so that you can accomplish all things more wonderfully. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters, in today's message, I reminded you that we have to realize our limits and we have to consider God's work as we consider God. And thirdly, we have to support another person. When it comes to age, our church, Manmin, is in its 30s when we are most energetic and vibrant in our lives. Just as young adults have a passion by which they can break through whatever lies in their way, Manmin Central Church will mightily accomplish the kingdom of God, fulfill God's will, and write the new chapters of the gospel like the apostles in the book of Acts. In this age, we are required to practice the words of the gospel. As Manmin's young adults, whose value system is based on the Bible, work faithfully in their respective areas and live as the light and salt of this world, then the fire of the Holy Spirit will be set ablaze with the power of recreation not only in this country, but all around the world. May we, Mami members, accomplish the work of salvation in the world.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.